you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. And that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot, the show that gives you the political news that you need and the paranormal news that you want. On this week's show, we're going to continue a trend. It has been pretty successful the last couple weeks where I've been mixing the paranormal, supernatural, and the political current events into one show. We are going to continue that trend. This week, we're going to talk UFOs. We're going to talk June 25th. That's the magical day in ufology. We're going to talk about our illustrious governor who is in a world of hurt right now. I will talk about the CDC and how COVID just is going away. That's just what's happening. COVID's going away. A lot of states are going away with it. And then I'm going to talk to you about what could be the starting of an uprising. There are things happening across this country you may or may not be aware of. You need to know what is going on. But before I do that, before I get into that, I wanted to talk to you because last week on the last segment of the show, I talked about what would happen if the shit hits the fan, when the shit hits the fan, because it's coming. Food prices, energy prices, lumber, everything is going up, and that's going to lead to food shortages, which will lead to massive civil unrest. And I laid out a plan of what you should do to protect yourself. And I asked my preppers out there, what did I miss? And Colin from Ohio sent me an email. He says, Tom, that was a great, great show. Probably one of your best. He went on to say that I am what people call a prepper. I am prepping myself and my family for this very instance when what you call the shit hits the fan. There are some things that I would do that are kind of prepper 101 that I didn't hear on the show. So I wanted to let your listeners know because he says it is important that all of my listeners know what to do if, God forbid, the worst case scenario, a violent mob starts coming into your area. Now, he says, before we even get to this situation, you have to, as the head of the family, have a plan. You have to be able to know where to meet up. He says, Tom, most families, the mother works, the father works, the kids are at school. Most families, if something were to happen like this, they wouldn't be together. So the family has to come up with a plan for a meeting point. My in-laws live about a mile from my kids' school. The plan in my family is that if something were to happen, the kids do not wait to be excused. The kids get up, leave class, and go right to my in-laws' house. My wife and I leave our jobs when we realize that something is going down, and we go meet everybody at the in-laws. With that being said, Tom, there has to be communication. In your situation where it's food shortages, civil unrest, there should still be electricity and cell phone service. So you need to communicate via telephone or cell phone with your family. When you all get together, you have to get out. He went on to say, Tom, you hit the nail on the head when you said that these city people who are used to just being able to walk down the road and get food, when they can't get it, they will start to come and encroach on the littler cities, the neighborhoods, kind of the rural areas. And if you live in one of those areas, you have to be prepared. You hit the nail on the head, Tom. But he said, when you realize what is going on, do not hesitate. You have to have what you called a bug out location. You get in your vehicle and you go. Now, there may be gas shortages, so it is very imperative to have a secondary source of fuel because there is no telling how far you will have to drive. get to your bug out area. And what you have to do at that point is you have to scan the perimeter. You have to survey the situation and make sure where you are is safe for you and your family. He also added, I've read the book you were talking about, the Jakarta Pandemic. Yes, it is a great book. I've read it multiple times. He said, it sounds like I live in pretty much the same type of neighborhood you do. He said, I know every one of my neighbors in the neighborhood. I know who I can trust. I know who I'm not sure if I can trust. And I know who I cannot trust at all. In a situation where you cannot leave and you are stuck in your neighborhood, it is imperative that that neighborhood come together. And they do not allow strangers into that neighborhood, because at this point in time, you will not know who you can and who you cannot trust. The safest bet for you, your family, and all of your neighbors is no one is coming in that you do not know. If they come into that neighborhood, they either live in that neighborhood or their family. And even if they're family of neighbors, you need to be very, very skeptical. As for the rest of the topics you talked about, Tom, you pretty much nailed it. You need a plan. You need food. You need water. You need fuel. You need a bug out plan. You cannot hesitate. You need to survey your situation. You need to stay in contact with those who you love that are part of your bug out group. Sometimes you get separated. You need to be in contact with them. You need weapons. You need a way to protect yourself. If you are stuck in your neighborhood, you fortify that neighborhood, fortify your house. Those are just some of the things that I think you would need to do if the shit hits the fan. Again, great show, Tom. One of your best. Longtime listener, Colin from Ohio. Well, those are some very good extra points that Colin mentioned, and you got to take them to heart. It's going to happen. I am a firm believer that in 4 years, something like this will happen. And it's going to get ugly. And you have to do this in order to protect your family and yourself. So listen, and if you haven't, start preparing now. Start going to the store and maybe every other time, buy some bottled water. Buy some non-perishable food. Go buy that firearm that you were waiting on, if you can do it. Because nowadays, it's hard to get a firearm, and it's even harder to get ammunition. Learn how to shoot it. Learn how to defend yourself. Colin from Ohio, I appreciate it. Great stuff. Now, before the first break, I want to do something that I haven't done in a while, and that is give a listener account to the listeners of the show. This email I received just this past week. It is from a young lady in northern Wisconsin who does not want her name mentioned, not even her initials, and I will oblige that. But she sent me the email, and she says, this happened to me yesterday, Saturday, May 1st. I'm still processing it. To preface, I live in northern Wisconsin in an area that has a large Ojibwe population. Now, the Ojibwe are Indians that are native to that land, go back hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of years. One thing that I've learned from living here is if a native tells you something is wrong, you listen to them. They've been here longer than us, and they know what's going on. I'm a 16-year-old female and a junior in high school. Last night was my junior prom, and I went with my boyfriend. Now, because of COVID, the prom was hosted by parents a couple towns over at a town hall. We had to drive, and my boyfriend picked me up. The highway that leads to this town is desolate and runs straight through a forest. It's about 15 miles long. That would be fine, but then we entered this specific area on the highway. I'm a pretty level-headed person. I don't scare easily. When we entered this area, I felt nothing but pure terror. We were surrounded by nothing but woods, and I felt like I was being hunted. There were these garbage bags on the side of the road. The first garbage bag was on the left side of the road. I pointed it out to my boyfriend, and he said that somebody probably dumped it there so they wouldn't have to pay for garbage pickup. I believed him, until we came upon two more garbage bags a couple miles down the road. They were on the opposite side of the road, equal lengths apart. I shrugged it off. Then equal distances away, there were two more garbage bags. This continued for the remainder of the stretch of road until the end, when there was a single garbage bag, now on the right. I told my boyfriend that this road was giving me a weird vibe, and he did his best to calm my anxieties. He thought I was worried because the road had a fast speed limit, which was 65 to 70, but it wasn't a fear like that. It was a primal fear. Something there above me on the food chain. Everything was fine until we left the dance. Pulling out of the parking lot, there was a cop. The cop pulled onto the highway leading to this road when they saw us coming. They didn't use a turn signal, which was very illegal. The cop started to act very weird. While in front of us, they were swerving and kept hugging the line. Then right before we reached the road, the cop, with no warning, just stopped, did a U-turn not even 50 feet from our car, and hauled ass off of the road. No sirens, no lights, not even a turn signal. My boyfriend and I were weirded out. It didn't help that this road was pitch black, and the only light was his car's crappy high beams. We then entered the road, and again, I was terrified. After passing the first garbage bag, the sense of primal fear returned. I wanted out. I started shaking and crying, and my boyfriend did his very best to comfort me. He suggested pulling over until I calmed down, but I refused. In that moment, I was sure that if we pulled over, we would die. I just kept repeating the phrase, "Something's not right here." He stepped on the gas. Being that it was 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, we were the only ones on this road. Off in the distance behind us, we saw a glowing pair of LED brights. They were pulling up on us fast. Might I keep you in mind, the speed limit here was 65 to 70. This car was going at least 85 to 90. And this driver was none other than the cop from before. This cop, again, had no sirens or lights, and sped right past us and off into the distance. Something in my gut told me that whoever was in that car was feeling the same way I was. Nothing changed for a bit. My boyfriend talked me down and I was calm. But then suddenly, I felt the terror again, and it was stronger than ever. I started to have a panic attack and started screaming. I was crying and begging my boyfriend to leave because something was wrong. It was then that I looked out my window and I saw them. There were 5 to 10 little creatures coming out of the woods. One looked me right in the eyes, and I knew this thing was a predator. They were a bit larger than a raccoon and walked on all fours, completely hairless. They looked humanoid and wrinkled. Imagine the top half of a Fuji mermaid, but larger and not dried out. Another way to describe them is a smaller version of the rake. They had the eyes that reflected light or they glowed in the dark. They were skinny and they were frail looking. I screamed and begged my boyfriend to keep driving. He obliged and did. Eventually, we left the road and got back to a more populated area of the highway. He pulled over and began to comfort me. I was having a panic attack. I tried to tell him what I saw, but I just couldn't. I told him I saw a malformed raccoon, and he just laughed it off. We returned to my house, and I was terrified. I had to explain to my mother that something was wrong with that road. She shrugged it off, but allowed my boyfriend to stay the night. And that made me feel better that he didn't have to leave, and he got to stay at my house, away from the woods and away from those things. My dad, whom we told about the cop, said the cop was just trying to rouse us, that the cop was hoping we'd make a mistake and that he could ticket us. I'm not sure if I believe him, though. I called my best friend today. She is Ojibwe, and she practices the beliefs and the culture. When we were talking, I couldn't help but spill. I told her about the creatures in the woods and the cop and the trash bags. She sounded worried. She said that the trash bags were most likely from people who volunteer to clean highways, which I can agree with. They were clear bags, and I could see trash in them. She was worried about the creatures. She started asking me questions. She asked if I was on my period. She asked about my spiritual healing practice my mother takes me to. She asked about if I tried to contact a spirit or if I tried to play with something dead. I told her that my mother has been trying to get me to do natural healing for my allergies and that I hadn't tried to play with anything dead. I told her that the day was the day after my period I had just finished. She told me, in a concerned voice, that the practice of natural healing may have opened my third eye and that those creatures may have been attracted to me because of my period. She also told me that she was going to give me sage and that I needed to use it. She asked me to redraw what I saw, and I did. I sent the picture to her, and she said that it was weird, but that I should be safe. I'm still a little shaken up. Those things wanted me and were out for blood. I don't think I'll ever go back there again. Interesting email I received. And the thing that was interesting about it to me was, first off, the Ojibwe. Where I live in Michigan, where I grew up in the Saginaw Valley, there was a huge Ojibwe population. And we have to start realizing that the quote-unquote legends that the Native Americans had, a lot of times were not just legends. They were actual events, actual, when they say they saw creatures, they're actual creatures. And then the part about the third eye, because I've been doing a lot of research on the third eye. And for those of us who don't know, the third eye is what's called your pineal gland. It is a pine cone shaped gland in your brain. They say it is the psychic gland. This thing, the pineal gland, has rods and cones in it. That's why they call it the third eye. Well, over time, as we grow up, we have fluoridated our water. And fluoride puts calcium deposits on and in the pineal gland, essentially making it useless. So it takes an effort to stop drinking the fluoridated water and to open that third eye. But there are some people that say their third eye is open and they wish it never would have been open because they're seeing things that they don't want to see. Now look at it this way. The human sight, we only see probably 5 to 10% of the spectrum all around us. That leaves 90 to 95% of things that are around us that we don't see. Maybe when your third eye is open, that 90 to 95% is what that third eye sees. And that's things that will terrify us or we're not used to. It's something to think about. Do some research on the third eye. I might do a little segment on it in the next couple weeks just to give you a little bit more detail. So, to the young lady in northern Wisconsin, I'm sorry you went through that. Great email. Let me know what you think. Has anybody else encountered anything like that? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722. So, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk to you about June 25th, and then we're going to go into the current events because there's a lot of topics I'm going to bounce off real quick.
The Stuff.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you lose your time, you think it will be
Okay, a couple weeks ago, I had a little segment about this disclosure coming up. How in the American Recovery Act, there was a clause in there that states the United States government has to release its UFO documents within 3 months. Well, the three-month mark is coming June 25th. And I mentioned it when I was talking about the quote-unquote disclosure that what I'm going to say is going to upset a lot of ufologists. And it did. I got a lot of hate mail. I got a lot of, what the hell are you talking about, Tom? This is going to be the greatest time to be alive in human history, and you're going to mock it? Well, June 25th is the day that the U.S. government is supposed to come clean on their UFO reports, on their UFO history, what they know and what they don't know. And again, I'm sticking by my guns. I can't see the United States government just giving us full disclosure. Yep. We've known for years and years and years and decades that these were real, but yeah, now's the time to tell you that they're real. I just can't do it. I can't see it. It's not going to happen. To me, all of these people waiting for the golden chalice of ufology and all the disclosure documents to come to fruition are those of us who watched Geraldo Rivera open Jimmy Hoffa's vault. It's going to be nothing. You're going to have a couple little breadcrumbs here, couple little seeds over here, but it's going to be nothing. The question I have, I mentioned it a little bit last show, what benefit does the U.S. government have in releasing this information? The answer is none. But the other question I have is, why the U.S. government? You know, Belgium, Mexico, Canada have all come out and said, yeah, there's things going on that we can't explain. There's ships and craft up there that aren't ours. And nobody believes them. So everybody's going to say, oh, the United States said they're real. Yes, they're real. I get it. We're a world power. We're the world power. But honestly, why does it take the United States? Is any other government going to release their UFO files? No, not that I know of. So do you really think the United States government is going to just say, here you go, there's everything we got? But on the flip side, and this is where I get a little cautious to say that there's nothing going to happen. I truly believe it, that nothing is going to happen. But look at the mainstream media. 60 Minutes just did a show about UAPs. Unidentified aerial phenomenon, also known as UFOs. This UFO topic is going mainstream, and it's going there quick. They're trying to make it so, hey, this isn't as crazy as we once made it sound. Okay, if you see UFOs, you're not crazy. And there's that little sliver of hope in me. Because listen, I want nothing more than just to say, they're here, this is who they are, these are the races that are here, this is what they look like, we're coming clean. I would like nothing more than to hear that. And I will gladly eat crow to all the ufologists that emailed me. I don't see it happening, but in a way, with the amount of media attention that these UFOs are getting now, it's almost as if we are being prepared in a very quick manner. You can't go on a website. You can't go on TV without hearing somebody talk about UFOs all of a sudden. And now, again, they've changed the acronym. It's not UFOs, it's UAP. Why? What's the difference? It's the same thing, unidentified flying object, unidentified aerial phenomenon. Okay, changing the acronym doesn't change what it is. It's unidentified. But I'm going to stand behind what I said. I don't think there's going to be major disclosure. Like I said, you're going to get breadcrumbs here. You're going to just get enough to make you think, oh, man, do they know or don't they know? Because the people that are going to release this are not stupid. They're going to give just enough to make it to comply. Say, hey, we gave you what we got. Yeah, a lot of it's redacted. There's top secret stuff that we just can't let the public know. That's how this is going to work. They're going to deem anything of value above top secret. Therefore, it can't be released. That's how this is going to work. So Are we being conditioned? I firmly believe we are. Does that mean June 25th, we will know everything that the government knows about UFOs? Absolutely not. Just remember where you heard it from. Because any of your friends that are into UFOs or are ufologists, they're going to be foaming at the mouth shortly before June 25th. And you can just have them listen to the show, or you can just tell them, look, the Paranormal Patriot says it's not going to happen. And I believe them. Let me know what you think. Are you into UFOs? Do you think we're going to learn everything about UFOs that the government knows on the 25th? Or is it just going to be a couple breadcrumbs? Let me know. All right, one more quick break. I got to get my notes ready for the next segment because it's going to be boom, boom, boom. We're going to be done. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Let's get into the current events political side of the show. As everyone listening knows, the CDC has lifted the mask mandate for vaccinated people. Now, first off, I have a little bit to say about that. And you're seeing it. You should be seeing what is going on. You are now going to be classified by whether or not you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. Unvaccinated people are going to be considered second-class citizens. I can tell you that right now. There is talk of sporting events, sporting stadiums. When they reopen, they're going to have vaccinated sections and the unclean, unvaccinated sections. This is just another way to distance us, to divide us. To be unvaccinated is not a bad thing. People are just being brainwashed. They're being told by TV and by radio and by politicians and entertainers that you have to vaccine. It's for the good of us all. Well, you know what? Again, I mentioned it last week. If you're vaccinated, what do you got to worry about? Simple as that. But now, here's my other issue. Just today, our illustrious governor has said June 1st, any outdoor stadium, all restrictions are lifted. Everything is lifted on, there's no restrictions on bars and restaurants, no curfew. And then July 1st, it's gone. No more mask mandate. Everything's open, full capacity. And I'm looking at this going, thank God. Because this is what we've wanted, right? This is what we've wanted. And I have to ask myself, what happened? And I've got people saying, well, the CDC said, you know, you don't need it if you're vaccinated. But you're not listening. This isn't, you know, July 1st. You can go. Everybody can go to the sports stadium if you're vaccinated. July 1st, this is done. And this is happening all across the country. This is done. So what happened? What makes COVID go bye-bye after July 1st? And you can sit there and you can tell me that the CDC is just easing up on the restrictions now. And so the states are following. It doesn't answer my question as to why, especially here in Michigan, in New York, in California, Nevada, Oregon, where they had so many restrictions and lockdowns and mask mandates. Hell, our government here in Michigan, and I know it was that way in Oregon, were working on a permanent COVID plan where masks were going to be mandatory, social distancing was going to be mandatory, that, at least in Michigan, has been scrapped. And why is it? COVID isn't going away. What happened? Is it going to be, do they anticipate it being less deadly? Well, it's not deadly as it is. Do they anticipate being less infectious? Where are they getting that from? You want to know the answer? Really? And this is what I think. I think they gave up. They saw that people were fed up. They were tired. Their mask mandates, their social distancing, their shutdowns were not flying in the face of American public. They said, we can't do it. Governor Whitmer, she had the tier system. At 55%, we'll open up. If you get us 60% of people that are vaccinated, we'll open up a little more for you. 65 of you in our state get vaccinated, we'll open up more. And if 70% of Michigan residents get vaccinated, we'll open everything up. That's all out the window. You want to know why? It wasn't going to happen. And they realized that. They can't do it anymore. They can't continue to fight the American people because the American people are fed up. They're not wearing masks. You know, back over the summer, here in Michigan, there was 85-90%. Over the summer and the fall, 90-95% of the people I saw, and there were polls, about 90% of the people were wearing masks. And then we got a huge surge. And then again in the spring, we got a huge surge. Why? What was the science and facts behind that? Nobody knows. Nobody could tell us. The government couldn't tell us. They had no idea. So July 1st, in Michigan at least, this is gone. And there are so many other states that are following that directive where we're going to put a date when this is gone, where we're just going to open everything up. Why put a date on it? If it's good enough for July 1st, it's good enough now. What is going to change between May 22nd and July 1st? Nothing. If anything, it's going to go down even more. So why don't you just say, we're done. You want to wear a mask? Please wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. All the businesses are open. Bars, restaurants, open up. Stay as open as late as you need to. No restrictions on capacity. Sports stadiums, full. Why are we waiting? You know, we have the Tigers here in Michigan. So right now is May 22nd. So for their next home games in May, well, you can't have full capacity. I think it's an 8,000-seat limit. So let's say they have a home game on May 31st. You can only have 8,000 at this game. But on the next day, June 1st, you can have full capacity because it's an outdoor stadium. On June 1st in Michigan, outdoor stadiums can have full capacity. July 1st, indoor stadiums can. What's the difference in a day? Remember when the Texas Rangers, on opening day of baseball season, the media, the government, everybody was up in arms because the Texas Rangers were allowing every seat to be filled opening day. Oh my gosh, super spreader event. Didn't happen. Texas, South Dakota, Montana, Florida, all these states that opened up and said, you know what, we're not doing this anymore. We're opening up. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Going down to Florida for spring break. We were told, we'll talk about this later, by our governor in Michigan, don't go. It's not safe. Please don't travel. Well, she travels down there, but that's a different story. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, everybody's going to come back with COVID. Didn't happen. You know, when people found out I was on vacation down in Florida when I contracted COVID, everybody's like, oh yeah, see, what were you even doing down there? Well, I didn't get it in Florida. I got it on the way down from Michigan. So that ixnay's your story. But people, they've had enough. And I've got a couple articles here that kind of talk about how people are done. Now, in what might be the first sign of American citizens basically trying to take their country back, residents of Pennsylvania sent a powerful message to those responsible for all of these COVID violations, or COVID rules, I should say. And that message was stop. Now, the pandemic, it provided governors and mayors and other local leaders to have extraordinary power to expand their influence over the citizens in their state. Nowhere were these emergency powers more abused than in the states and cities and towns governed by, guess who? The Democrats. Now, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf, he was one of the worst offenders. He locked his state down. Mask mandates, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. The people, in the beginning, just like everybody, were like, yep, good idea. But as it dragged on and the numbers started coming out and people started realizing that what they're being told wasn't necessarily the truth, people got upset and they started to rebel. Well, WHYY-TV reported that two constitutional amendments, they passed statewide referenda that will provide the state's General Assembly with more power to block emergency declarations. So in other words, they can't just executive order their powers into position. Now, the amendment to Article 3, Section 9 of the Pennsylvania Constitution grants the legislator the ability to terminate the governor's COVID-19 disaster emergency declaration without presenting it to the governor for his or her approval. Now, prior to this amendment, measures passed by both the House and the Senate required approval of the governor. Now, needless to say, all of the Republican-controlled legislators' attempts to end or minimize Governor Wolf's orders ended in vetoes, which required a two-thirds vote in both chambers to override. Now, with the passage of this resolution, a simple majority vote in the House and the Senate is all that is necessary. Veto power is no longer available to the governor. Now, under the old law, the governor had the authority to issue an emergency order, which would remain in effect for 90 days, at which point he or she could either renew it or end it. Now, this new amendment stipulates that, quote-unquote, disaster emergency declaration will expire automatically after 21 days, regardless of the severity of the emergency, unless the General Assembly takes action to extend the disaster emergency. We went through the same thing here in Michigan. The governor was just going hog crazy, writing up these executive orders, making laws, making rules on her own without any input from the citizens or any other branch of the government. And this is not how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to have checks and balances, and that wasn't the case in almost every Democrat-controlled state. People are getting pissed. And with that being said, thousands of people in eastern Oregon voted Tuesday for their elected officials to consider ditching their state and becoming part of Idaho. Voters in Sherman, Lake, Grant, Baker, and Malheur counties all voted for ballot measures that would lead them to become Idahoans. People in Union and Jefferson counties had already voted in favor during the November election. Now, the vote is only the first step of the quote-unquote Greater Idaho Project, which would allow some Oregon counties to join a state that advocates, what they say, more closely aligns with their political policies. Now, here's the issue, and this can be said for Republican or Democrat-controlled states. The issue is, in Oregon, it is vehemently Democrat, and you could go and say socialist. And now, I said it is mostly, or you know, it can be said for Democrat or Republican states, but honestly, it is mostly Democrat-controlled states that we run into this issue, where the people do not feel represented. They feel like their voice isn't being heard. The reason for that is these Democrat governors, they're not working with the House in the Senate. They're working with their own pen. There's no checks and balances. There's no bipartisanship. Here in Michigan, the Republicans we're coming up with bill after bill and resolution after resolution, trying, and they were still doing kind of a lockdown thing during this whole pandemic, but kind of easing it up, and Whitmer just wouldn't listen to them and was doing her own thing. And we here in Michigan, and I know it was like that in many, many other states, were fed up. We'd have protests. We'd have rallies, and she would call us out, and, oh, they're creating riots. They're terrorists, and the media would follow along. Heck, I remember on the Capitol steps, they had barbers. Remember Carl Mankey, the barber from Owosso that was shut down and fined by Whitmer and Nessel for having the audacity to continue cutting hair because you can't cut hair because you're too close to people. Well, he was wearing a mask. It doesn't matter. You're too close. But Dennis could still operate. Oh, by the way, Governor Whitmer's husband is a dentist. And this is what we dealt with here in Michigan is the double standard, the hypocrisy of it all. And you could say that about every Democrat-controlled state. But these people in Oregon have had enough. There's a little portion of Oregon that borders Idaho, and they said, you know what? Our voices are not being heard here in Oregon. We're going to secede over to Idaho, where we feel our voices and our views can at least be heard, because right now, Kate Brown is not listening to a word we say. And you can say, you can replace Kate Brown with Governor Whitmer, Governor Cuomo, Governor Newsom, Governor Murphy, Governor Wolf. You can replace that with any Democrat governor because that's how it works. In a Democrat-controlled state, the people do not have a voice. The House and the Senate do not have a voice. The House and the Senate are actual obstacles. Now, here in Michigan, we had a ballot go through, and I know Wisconsin had this, and I think Pennsylvania may have had this, and maybe a couple other states, but we had a judge rule that everything pretty much that Governor Whitmer signed as an executive order was null and void. So rather than going to the House and the Senate and saying, okay, we've got to come up with a plan here. Let's work on this together, Republican and Democrat. What did Governor Whitmer do? She went to the Department of Health and Human Services and said, hey, I can't do this anymore. I need you to implement these rules due to a pandemic. You can do it. And the Department of Health and Human Services said, yeah, we'll do it. So everything that she wanted was being done through DHHS. Still no bipartisan support. Still no bipartisan working together. And that's how it was through every Democrat state. And people are pissed. This, you know, before in the 2020 election, I said, don't underestimate the Democrats' ability to cheat. I knew Donald Trump was not going to be president. They weren't going to let it. And this is just as of a couple weeks ago. I pretty much was certain the Democrats are still going to control the House. They're still going to control the Senate because they're going to cheat their way to that. I don't think so. There's too many people right now that are just done. And they're starting to see, like in Michigan here, they're starting to see that you want stuff done, don't vote for Democrat. They don't work well with others. They're seeing that in Oregon. And again, first step. The people in Pennsylvania, they basically stripped the governor of his emergency declaration powers and gave it back to the rightful spot of checks and balances. In Oregon, no matter what these people voted for, it didn't matter. Kate Brown wasn't going to listen. She was doing her own thing. So they're like, we're just not going to be part of Oregon anymore. We like Idaho better. When does Texas do this? I mean, does Texas look at this now and say, holy cow, that little portion of Oregon did it. Why can't we? Texas can support itself. I mean, heck, they've got one of the world's largest standing armies just by themselves. Their economy, they can support it. Their economy is bigger than some other countries right now. They can become their own republic. Are they looking at these people, these counties in Oregon going, yeah, they did it. We can too. Because I think this is going to be a growing trend. The Kate Browns, the Gavin Newsoms, the Tom Wolfs, And the Gretchen Whitmers really, really need to look out, because I think their terms are done. And speaking of Gretchen Whitmer, one last thing is she is now going to be investigated by the House in Michigan, plus the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. Why? Because you may have heard me talk briefly recently about how in March, Governor Whitmer said, no, I don't want any of my citizens going down to Florida. You just stay here and you stay socially distanced in your own place. And then goes down to Florida. She denies it. I wasn't down in Florida. No, I didn't go down to Florida. And then it comes out, she did go down to Florida. And then she says, well, I was down there helping out my ailing father. I was being a good daughter. Well, that sounds all fine and dandy until we realize a couple days after she got back, her dad's up here buying a Tesla. Doesn't sound that ailing. Now, it's coming to fruition that she chartered a private jet to fly down to Florida. That chartered private jet did not have the necessary paperwork filed to be able to charter somebody down there. Plus, there's really big questions about where she got the money. The money was coming from a campaign fund, which is illegal to use for personal business. So now she's saying it wasn't personal business. I was always in contact with my people up here. That's not how it works. You have to be, if you're going to use campaign funds or taxpayer money to go somewhere, you have to be working. You have to be performing your governor duties. And according to Gretchen Whitmer, she was cooking, she was cleaning, she was doing his laundry, being a good daughter. I don't believe anything that comes out of this woman's mouth. She got caught. And her response when she got caught was, well, I didn't say anything because I knew I'd just get insensitive and just an insane amount of questions. I bet you would have. And now you are. Governor Whitmer is by far one of the worst governors in this country. The rising star of the Democrat Party. Oh, how she has fallen. There is still a recall effort out for her. There are still possibilities that she may be brought up on charges for putting these positive COVID patients back into nursing homes and essentially killing untold amount of people. I mean, that's a pretty serious crime there. That's essentially accessory to murder or second degree murder or manslaughter. That's prison time. So she, through her actions of, in the beginning, wanting power and needing power, making decisions that did not make sense just so she could retain her power. And this could be said for Newsom, Kate Brown, Governor Cuomo, Murphy, Wolf. They were so power hungry, and I don't know who's advising these governors, but the decisions that they made were just asinine. And it's now time to reap what you sow. She lied to the people of Michigan. She got caught in the lie and lied some more to try and get out of that lie. And now she's so deep in her lie, she can't get out. Now, do I think anything's going to happen to her? No, because she's elite and she's a politician and nothing ever happens to them. And she's a Democrat. But her election chances, her re-election chances in 2022, they may be going quickly. They may be sinking quicker than the Titanic. So let me know. If you're in Michigan, let me know what you think about what's going on here. Let me know what you think about anything going on in this show. We're going to call it an end of the show. I'm getting a little tired. I'm losing my voice. I'm actually not feeling too well. So that's the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed it. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722. My name is Tom Velasquez. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. We're going to end the show with the new song by Multiple Myself and yours truly, Tommy V, 80s Kid. If you grew up in the 80s, this is your song. Me.
and says, "You're you." I said, "Is it me or you smelling my boot?" She asked me if I had any Cabbage Patch Kids. I said, "Nope, if I did, it looked like a gremlin." She asked me if I wanted her strawberry shortcake. I said, "Yeah, I'm missing you just like John Wayne." Box ain't hell in the rocks. John Lennon is shot. Batman is stuck in quarter space. Invaders is hot. There's a major channel everybody's talking about. And a miracle on ice making everybody shout. Working ladies a pair and out just came from space. Different strokes taught us all how to deal with race. The 80s were the best music that we ever had. Just ask Michael Jackson because he's bad.
Hold up, my pager's going off. I gotta go find a payphone. Anybody got a dime I can borrow?
Ronnie Reagan's running the show. George Bush is next. Here comes Clinton and his little game of Monica sex. Big brothers, listen, probably not something I should say, but I hope it was worth that PJ. Worldwide Web comes out. Mr. T is hot. Michael Jordan is a rookie. Ronald Reagan is shot. Post-it notes are invented, so is the mobile phone. Everybody's telling E.T. you go home.
Grab my Walkman, popped in a cassette. Walking to school, listening to Little Red Corvette. Trapper Keeper in my hands, watch on my wrist. I hope I did good on my test so I can get a scratch and sniff. This girl in the hall, she's got a Teddy Ruxpin. Never liked a thing with his eyes and an evil grin. Walked up to my friend, he's got a Rubik's Cube. My eyes bulge, jaw drops as it beats a dude. The girl of my dreams, whose fire hair is so high, you gotta tease her hair with Aquanet until it's dry. I walk up to her, said I'll be your munchy cheek. She says, "What's that?" I say, "I'm also soft and cuddly." Sitting in class, not listening, I'm not sorry. I can't wait to get home and play my Atari. This is the story of how my days were scarce, so let it be known. I'll always be.